seriously. How the f*** are you going to do that?
Hello, and welcome to How the Bleep We Would Do It, a podcast where we take a property, dissect it with our sometimes professional eyes, and tell you how the bleep we would do it. I am Super Sean RPG. This is Thomas the Hedgehog, and Mason, who swears that this won't be a 17-movie pitch this time, and we're going to tell you... Here we go. We would do a Sonic and Mario crossover game.
No, I've already said this is the nexus point between my 17-game Sonic franchise and my 17-game Mario franchise. You got to play all of those first before you get to this one to understand.
I swear.
No, it's one game. It's one game, I swear.
All right. Well, we're
16 parts that you have to buy separately.
What is this? Something like a trend that you'll buy at the toy and slowly build it together?
No, it's one game with 17 things of DLC, of story DLC.
Oh, so the Final Fantasy thing.
So you're making an MMO? Is that what you're doing here? Oh my goodness. All right, well, I'm going to lead off pitch because, like usual, I probably am the fastest. We'll see. I'm going to lead into the RPG of these two franchises, partly because Mario has had plenty of RPGs, so, like, you can put him in anything, but Sonic has only really had one.
and it was turn-based.
I would love to see Sonic jump back into an action RPG. Heck, that's what I pitched for our Sonic game. Was more of an action kind of RPG. But what I would like for this kind of like crossover is I think I would start it in Mario World. Like I would start more in the Mushroom Kingdom, and like either a new pipe or a new thing, a new portal has opened up. And it just starts as a very innocent game that like the Mushroom Kingdom gang kind of is like, specifically Mario and Luigi, are like, we're going to go visit and explore this. We're going to figure it out. And they end up in Sonic's world. It's a very simple early on game that's just like, oh, and they just kind of going around. There's like some basic villains that are going on, and they agree to team up and help Sonic and work through things. And they kind of like bond. And as the game goes on, it slowly gets – the things start getting bigger and bigger that's happening. And we start to see this big threat over all of it that is kind of threatening the universes. It's something that's like – it feels very simplistic at the beginning. But by the end, you're like, oh, I could play like 3 or 4 more games of this. Like you could keep this story going forever if you wanted. Like you could keep doing this sort of thing. That it's like this – kind of like this like – I don't want to say – really Kingdom Hearts-esque, because that's a very different animal than what I'm thinking, but kind of in the same way of like you sit down, you're like, oh, Mario and Sonic RPG, that could be interesting. That could be, why am I so invested in these characters by the end of it, like and expanding out kind of the world and expanded and how these two kind of worlds connect together. It simplistically looks like maybe it's a pipe, but we maybe explore kind of what the Mario movie kind of started exploring, that these pipes could go anywhere, and you could have a whole lot of different things that they're like, and maybe even find a little bit of like what they are, where they came from, who created them. You know, it could be a whole thing. Of course, you know, if they're maybe less magical or more scientific, maybe Eggman is kind of behind the scenes being like, I kind of want to get control of these pipes, you know, think of what I could do with it. And you can, from each universes, can bring in, you could almost have a system where you're able to travel around to these different worlds. Maybe they're Mario worlds, maybe they're Sonic world, visiting them while you're on the world. Maybe you're adding people to your party, but primarily your party, I think, would be Sonic, Tails, Mario, Luigi.
Kind of makes me think of like, it's like a Crisis on Infinite Earths type thing.
And for some reason, I get reminded of like Final Fantasy II, I think it is, where it's a base party, but you eventually get like an extra member here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where when you're on their world, maybe like you're in an Echidna world and Knuckles is with you. Maybe you're over off in a Koopa world and Bowser is actually on your side because you're trying to overarching. Maybe you're, you know, you have Peach or Daisy, but like they don't stay for like the whole game necessarily. They're more like guest party members. But anytime you come back to that world, maybe they're with it. Maybe they're in multiple worlds. Maybe at the end you get to choose one, you know, maybe in the final world, you get to choose one of the guests to go along with you, and that can impact. And you could maybe have ending stories that are slightly different depending on which character you go with you. Maybe you create kind of a system where you're trying to build up friendship with your guest, and that determines who's your ending one, like how nice you were to them, or how, you know, how much they responded to your help. There are things you could do. You could make it even just based around a little bit more, like you have dumb little fetch quests and things like that to make them feel better and things like that. But I want it to feel very simple as far as an RPG goes, but in the end it has this really big story. And it doesn't necessarily be like a huge skill based game. I don't know if I want, I think I would lean a little more into turn based at this point, but I'm okay with making it a little more action oriented. But I don't want it to be like the ends of like Kingdom Hearts or those games where it's like only the super skilled people can beat these final bosses. Like, I want to be able to, like, you know, all right, if you put in these hours, you can at least attempt these things. You can go into these and you could feel like you could beat these bosses with strategy and things like that, not necessarily kind of all that. But I just would really like to see these kind of universes and just being able to like mix and being able to go to a, like, kind of different worlds and things like that.
I'm kind of imagining it being like Final Fantasy VII Remix style, where in the overworld you play as one character, like you play as Mario or Sonic, maybe you swap between the two. And then you get into battles and you choose your character.
Yeah, that can absolutely be something you can do with it. But I think it could be a very like rewarding game. And you like, maybe for a part of it, like maybe you're in a world and you think Shadow's the bad guy of this world, but turns out he's not actually, and you have to team up with him at the end. And maybe how you did things throughout there determines if he does team up with you, or maybe you're fighting the actual bad guy and Shadow at the end, because different things. Like, there are different things you could do with some of these characters as well, and allow their like personalities to all come out while just getting to enjoy running around as Sonic and Mario in both of their worlds.
It's very interesting.
So there's my pitch for Mario and Sonic. I think I would just call it Mario and Sonic. Like, I think it would be a very simple, just, you know, kind of one of those very simple, like you could imagine like the teaser trailer pops out like you at the beginning, and you just have like the Mario, the M plus S, and it just did. Everyone's like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And then like maybe like a Mario hat and a ring drops down.
It would be so cool if it played like a Mario RPG, like it played like Mario and Luigi, but as it's like, it's just a Mario and Luigi game. Oh, cool. Those are back. Mario and Luigi sort of fades out, and then Sonic speeds by and you just see Sonic.
Yeah, something like that would be really cool. Like, and again, like, I don't need like these super high graphics. I kind of pictured kind of like, not, it's 3D, but like kind of in like that 2D realm of like gameplay at times, things like that. That it, very simplistic. I don't know if I would go full like what Sea of Stars did like this last year, and kind of just, or any of the Octopath games have done. I don't think I'd go full 2D sprites. I think I would like to like be able to actually explore the world a bit more within the 3D realm. But I don't want it to be like, oh, let's spend all this money making all the worlds these big things. Just spend time making the characters more than anything, and the world will fill in itself.
Right.
That's very interesting. It reminds me a lot of your Sonic game pitch.
Yeah, that was a little bit like that. That had a lot more grand, bigger, like, you know, defeating gods sort of things.
Right.
Which maybe this game does end with you killing God. It would fit if it's an RPG, but
a JRPG specifically.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's my pitch. All right, Mason.
Regale.
Make us not want to stab you.
Let me tell you a tale. So before I go like sort of deep into the story, the basis for like gameplay that I'm going off of is like a Breath of the Wild, Sonic Frontiers style open world platformer, sort of action game, something of that type. So when you're hearing me tell you all this, think of that's the type of game that you're thinking of. And what I have basically right here is the story setup. I'm thinking that this would be what the opening cutscene would be. So it starts up. The game starts off in deep space, deep dark space, and then out of like a warp drive sort of thing, a big huge spaceship comes out with a big glass observation deck on the front, and in this spaceship. Standing at the observation deck is one Watcher-like creature, like from the Marvel Universe, the Watchers, very similar to that, watching, and he's looking out at these two galaxies, these two spinning Milky Way-ish type galaxies. One is red, one is blue. Put two and two together. Anyways, he's watching these two galaxies.
Really, one is moving really fast.
And one of them gets big every time a mushroom hits it. Anyways, this Watcher-like creature is looking out at these two galaxies, and then a second creature comes up next to him and approaches him from behind, and he says, "We have access to a countless number of galaxies and worlds across the entire expanse of time and space. Why do you insist on always coming to this point?" And the other one replies, "Because across the entirety of time and space, across every known and unknown universe, from the dawn of time to the end of everything as we know it, there has never been, nor will there ever be, a moment such as this." And then the camera zooms in towards the red galaxy, and specifically to one sort of Earth-like looking planet. Now, the world, the Mario world, doesn't actually, like, the planet doesn't actually have, like, a consistent name, so I had to make one up. Just a heads up. Anyways, and then this narration starts. The narration starts looking at both galaxies first. And it's the same Watcher's voice, and he says, "Two galaxies with two worlds, both alike in dignity, both blissfully unaware of the other's existence, and yet so beautifully synchronous." And then it zooms into the Mario planet. "One world, planet Muscaria," yes, I had to make up a planet name, "is home to the Mushroom Kingdom, a vast expanse of grassy plains, dangerous deserts, frozen tundras, and lands of lava. The kingdom is home to many simple mushroom-like creatures called toads, ruled over by the Toadstool Monarchy led by Princess Peach, and protected by two brightly colored tradesmen brothers named Mario and Luigi from the forces of the maniacal would-be conqueror Bowser." And during this point, we would see like a little fight acting out between Mario, Luigi, and Bowser all across the Mushroom Kingdom. They're fighting and doing all that. And the camera pulls out of that world, moves quickly over to the other universe and down into another Earth-like planet. And the narration goes, "The other world, Mobius, contains great cities, green hills and valleys, massive chemical plants, and floating islands. This world is protected by many anthropomorphic woodland creatures, led by a juvenile, rapid-moving blue hedgehog named Sonic, and an intelligent, twin-tailed fox named Tails. Their fight is against Dr. Ivo Robotnik, a gifted roboticist with superhuman levels of intellect and a flair for the dramatic." And again, we see a sort of cutscene playing out of Sonic and Tails fighting Eggman in Green Hills, all acting out as it does. Then the camera pulls back out again to both universes that are slowly and slowly getting closer together. And the narration goes, "Two completely different worlds, two completely different heroes, one fight of good against evil. Little did they know that one day their fights would become much closer than either of them could possibly imagine." We then cut the camera to, at one point, both Earths going back and forth as they watch from their perspective, both of their universes colliding and combining in what appears at first to be a great white light going across both of their worlds. That's how it looks to them. But from the outside, we can see both of the universes swirling together and combining into one massive universe.
Purple.
Like, yeah. I wasn't going to make that joke, and then you hit it anyways. But then the white light goes away. Everything sort of calms down. And now both universes and both worlds have become one and have been combined. And we see different colliding locations. We see Green Hills and Mushroom Kingdom have combined, and there's sort of aspects of both appearing across the land. We see places like New Donk City and Central City both combining together. This world has become sort of an amalgamation of both planets, with different locations from both Mario and Sonic both coming together. And the main story of the game, the main conflict is Mario and Sonic teaming up to discover how this happened and how they can set things right and separate their universes once again. And they discover that the source of their colliding worlds turns out to be a combination of the Time Eater from Sonic Generations and Kolex from Mario RPG. They have combined into one massive godlike force that has combined these universes together in order to destroy them easily. Because it's, I guess, easier to destroy one combined galaxy than two separate ones. And that's the big main plot. And you know, Bowser and Eggman would be there too. I don't think they would team up in this universe. I think instead Eggman would actually enslave Bowser. He would become sort of mechanized. I think I like the image that I have in my head is that Eggman would have Bowser on like these big long like roboticized leashes. And Bowser sort of becomes like his massive dragon pet that he controls.
I'll say his puppet.
Yes, basically, yeah. He becomes like Bowser becomes like something that Eggman can control. They don't team up. It's more forceful than that. But they're not like the main villains in this. They're sort of like they're sort of their foil in a way to getting to the main goal.
Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, you said that my pitch sounded a lot like my Sonic pitch. Your pitch sounds a lot like my Sonic pitch.
I was trying to make it sound more distinct. But, you know, with yours, like, all the worlds are separate, though. Mm-hmm. I'm combining everything into one central location.
Fair. Yeah, we'll get to it. But I do have a very common thing with both of your pitches. So.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Strong Sonic pitch and your this pitch.
So. Right.
Okay. Yeah. I like the idea of kind of unknown entity outside of the kind of thing that kind of is giving us a look into the universes.
Yeah.
Giving us an idea, a look into it. That's a good way to kind of let everything there. Would those characters have any impact on it, or are they just there to kind of like tell the story for us?
That's pretty much what they're there for, is to be the because I brought them in to like introduce everything. Specifically because I wanted to emphasize the magnitude of this crossover, that like there is never going to be anything as big as this. There's never been anything as big as this, and there never will be anything as big as this. Okay. I brought them in to sort of like emphasize how massive this moment is of these two franchises combining.
Okay. Interesting. I could play it.
In a perfect world, they would both be voiced by like someone from Nintendo and someone from Sega. But
what genre do you think you'd put your franchise in?
He said.
I said the
open world platform. Okay. Yeah, you said it early on because you said it would be kind of Breath of the Wild. Yeah. Okay. There we go.
And to sort of make sure that like. To balance out the problem with Sonic being faster than Mario, I imagine that Tails would do something to be like, hey, here's some really fast shoes so that you can keep up with us. Like I know you're not as fast as us, but here, we will help you.
Yeah, and then Luigi would try to run into a wall.
Yeah.
Or Knuckles would try to steal the shoes for his
Not Wario would try and steal
Wario the shoes.
He would run into the wall.
I would, yeah, that would be fun. All right, interesting. I like it.
Thank you. I do like that idea.
All right, Thomas.
I wish I could build onto it more, but
that's a great first pitch. Like, that's a great idea you can build under it.
I was gonna say this is a pitch. It's not
that's fair.
That's this doesn't fair. Need to be like my old pitches where I'm like, here's 20 hours of what here's, I do.
Here is a whole outline. Just like a whole, like, you got like a whole big binder of like, here's everything.
All right.
Have fun.
All right, Thomas. Take us home on a pitch.
So I was trying to think of a genre I wanted these characters to be in. Because the thing I love about these franchises the most are the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I want something where I'm able to get a big roster in there. But also, you know, I don't want Mario vs. Sonic the fighting game. As funny as it would be, it's not exactly like if I want just a Sonic fighting game or a Mario fighting game or whatever.
You wouldn't want like both of those.
Yeah. I would play a fighting game. I would definitely play it. But yeah, I don't think that would be the choice on it. This
is like the big crossover you wanted. But
yeah, no.
Now my idea probably isn't as massive, but.
Considering the only crossover we've gotten is the Olympic Games, anything will feel massive.
Yeah. But it's not a platformer, because I was like, you could find a way to mix the two together platformer-wise, but it would take a smarter man than me. Mm. It's not an RPG, just because as much as I do like it, it's again, like, I want Sonic to have his own fighting game, I want Sonic to have his own RPG at a certain point. So I went with a Musou game. Or a Warriors game.
Okay.
Sonic and Mario Warriors.
All right.
So all the horde-based combat you can think of.
Okay.
Basically, first I want to go into the roster, because I straight up picked the roster I would want.
Wow.
I'd be surprised if you didn't.
So this was actually the hardest part, because I needed to look up, okay, what's... Warriors games always have big rosters, but I didn't want to go too extreme. So I was like, okay, what's the biggest Warriors roster? And I'll, like, tone it down from there. The biggest Warriors roster is 177.
Jesus Christ, what game?
Warriors Orochi 4 Ultimate.
Good Lord.
Yeah, so
Ultimate
I was like,
is right.
So I was some like, of those have ginormous rosters.
So I was like, well, that's not happening. I don't think there's 117 characters in both franchises combined.
Yeah, you'd have to really stretch... To like
Bob-omb, the playable character, lads. Let's go, baby.
This is King Boo. This is Boo. This is Baby Boo. This is Mommy Boo. Boo. This we have created. This is Red Shell Koopa. This is Flying Koopa. This is Green Shell Koopa. This is Yellow Shelled Koopa.
Dynasty Warriors 9 has 94. Samurai Warriors 4 has 61. One Piece Pirate Warriors 4 has 52. I'm like, Jesus Christ. That's a lot.
That's too big.
Yeah. So I decided to look up Hyrule Warriors
because that's probably the most well-known Warriors game.
That has 40 with DLC. And then Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity has 18. So I was like, fuck it. I'll go in the middle, 30.
Okay.
30 is a nice round number.
Okay.
So.
Now, was that 30 per franchise or is that 30?
No, that's 30 altogether.
So 15 per franchise.
15 per franchise.
That seems about right.
10 base. And then 5 DLC.
And then 5 DLC. Okay.
The Mario characters, the base roster, pretty obvious. Mario, Luigi, Peach, Daisy, Bowser, Wario, Waluigi, Donkey Kong, Bowser Jr., and the Koopalings. I would put them as one character. I would have it be like a kind of... I'm trying to remember, kind of like Mega Man from Smash Brothers, where every attack uses a different Koopaling.
Okay.
And Yoshi. Those are the 10 Mario characters. The DLC, when that comes out, would be Diddy Kong, because fuck you. Kamek.
That was entirely an attack at me.
Kamek, Rosalina, Birdo, King Boo.
Okay.
That seems like that would be a good lineup in my part. Where is there a character I missed? Probably, but...
Mm-hmm.
The Sonic characters, again, kind of obvious. Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Shadow, Rouge, Amy, Blaze, Silver, Espio, Eggman, Metal Sonic.
Okay.
I like it. That's a good roster.
Did I miscount there? Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Shadow, Rouge, Amy, Blaze, Silver, Espio, Eggman, Metal Sonic.
That's 11.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a good roster, though.
It is a good roster.
It's interesting that Espio is the representative from Team Chaotix.
Because he's just the one I see fitting in a combat scenario
most. That's fair. That is fair. He is Ninja.
There is a Team Chaotix character in the DLC. If you want to round it out, just take Espio out and put him there instead.
Okay.
Then for the Sonic DLC, I had to kind of dig. because a lot of the characters are either from comics or whatever. They seem to be more comfortable with the IDW characters getting in there.
Okay.
So I took a couple characters from the IDW comics. So the DLC characters, Tangle from the IDW comics, Whisper from the IDW comics, Surge from the IDW comics, then Vector and E-123 Omega.
I was going to say, if Omega isn't one of those, I'm going to riot.
Omega is in there.
Felt okay, perfect. He is basically built for a Warriors game.
Yeah. So like I said, take SPO out of the base roster, put him in the DLC. Mm-hmm. That would also be fine. Because he doesn't play a huge part in the story. But
right.
Or I could just add another Mario character. I miscounted because I'm stupid, right?
Happens. Happens.
Anyway, the gameplay, typical Warriors gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
You've played a Warriors game, you know what it is. Hordes upon hordes of enemies. You pick your fighter, you go to fucking town. With some typical Mario and Sonic elements in there. Mario coins would be the currency, but similar to Frontiers, rings would be the health.
Okay. So you'd be giving Mario characters rings. That's kind of...
Yeah, and Sonic characters would be collecting the coins.
That's kind of... That's a little... That's funny. I like, that's a funny thing to think about, actually.
I appreciate that.
It's a nice touch.
Each character would have a small skill tree, not a massive one. I'm not giving everyone, like, a skill tree from an action RPG. But each one would have a tiny skill tree where there would be, like, 8 different moves that you can cycle through.
So it's kind of like a Frontiers skill tree. A
little bit. And yeah, everyone would have a couple different moves you can cycle through, because there would be a gimmick where you hold down the right trigger and a face button would pop up. You know, you click which face button you want to do that special move.
Okay.
Mario, you press right trigger, X, he does his fucking fire Kamehameha from Super Smash Bros. Sonic, you press R2, circle, he does some anime bullshit where he walks through, snaps his fingers, and everyone dies around him. So
that's funny.
Yeah. Would he do that in base form, or would he turn supersonic for that, or you have a supersonic form later?
Super forms come later.
Oh, okay.
They're story forms. So.
Makes sense.
There would be items, but they would kind of operate differently. Similar to Mario and Sonic, items would be everywhere, but they would only kind of add elements to your attacks. Like, you pick up a fire flower, you get fire elements to your attacks. You pick up a water bubble shield, you get water elements to your attacks, and it defends you from that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, typical Mario and Sonic style, one hit, they're
and
gone.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, like, in Hyrule Warriors, where the fire rod is, like, massive.
Yeah, so kind of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The game would work, kind of. You would get a certain selection of characters for each level. So, say, like, the first level, you get to pick either Mario or Sonic. Then you can branch out, and you keep going on the route where you are Mario and Sonic, Tails and Luigi. Or you branch off to this route, where you can play as Knuckles, Shadow, Wario, or Waluigi.
Okay.
Or you branch off to this route, where you can play as Amy, Peach, Blaze, or Daisy.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
It would be a 100% completion thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking a super long story mode, but long enough, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
That could be fun.
That is interesting.
Would those four groups have their own kind of like story? Or would each individual kind of lead into the story, or
they would have their own stories that kind of combine?
Okay. And so to get the whole picture, like, you know how the goes beginning, but to get the whole picture of every character there,
similar to Sonic Adventure.
Okay.
Similar to the Sonic Adventure games. Like, sure, you can play as just Mario and Sonic and get the basics, but for more details, you play as Knuckles and Shadow Warrior, Waluigi. The story would start, and they're just doing their normal things. They're just living their normal lives. They're doing their normal shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Bowser has captured a metric fuck ton of power stars. Like, it's enough that it's like, you're drowning the castle, man. You gotta stop hoarding this shit.
He's hoarding power stars.
Yeah, he's going to use them to unlock ultimate power because he's Bowser, and that's what Bowser do.
Right.
Meanwhile, in Sonic's world, Eggman has collected the Chaos Emeralds. They're circling around, they're powering up. At the same time, Mario kicks Bowser into the Power Stars, whereas Sonic just shoulder tackles Eggman into his machine. The power starts surging between the two, and both Mario, Sonic, Eggman, and Bowser look at it, and they're like, that ain't right. And all of a sudden, blank. It all goes blank. And then Mario and Sonic wake up. They see each other and they're like, who the hell are you? It would be a brief fight, like a cutscene fight, but it would mostly be like stopping like, wait, what's going on here? Like, they just attack on Sonic because they're freaked out. And eventually Sonic's like, I need to get back to Mobius. And Mario's like, wait, I need to get to the Mushroom Kingdom.
Hey, I need to go to the Mushroom Kingdom, yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible Brooklyn.
Oh, I know, it was terrible. It was absolutely awful. But
I know that's what you were going for, but yeesh.
No, it was not. It was more just trying to go a deeper Mario voice that kind of had a little bit, oh no, I can't do a Brooklyn accent to save my life, but.
But soon they realize, similar to Mason's pitch, their worlds have combined on a molecular level. This shit has rewritten reality, basically. There is no longer the Mushroom Kingdom.
I see where you're pulling from my Sonic pitch.
There is no longer the Mushroom Kingdom. It is now the Mobius Kingdom. Sonic's like, where are the Chaos Emeralds? They don't exist. They are the Chaos Stars, and there's only seven of them.
Wow.
So, yes, their worlds have just been rewritten and combined at a molecular level.
Molecules got all rearranged.
So,
Hedgehog.
So, Mario and Sonic are both like, wait, your asshole did this? My local asshole did this. We have to go. We have to fight these guys. Let's figure this out. So the first half of the game would be our heroes tracking down Bowser and Eggman, who did land together. They do not get along. Like, they really hate each other.
I'd imagine.
So, again, the story would not be too big, but it would mostly just be these characters getting to know each other, having these cute little interactions, because I think that would be what really sells the game, are the interactions between these characters.
Yes.
So once they've all gotten to know each other, they find Bowser, they find Eggman, you select your character, you beat the hell out of him, the day is saved, and then save, rise up. not really, but
I'm here to make you do sin.
Shadow.
Not exactly.
Are you friends with her? Did you save her when she was a little kid? Did you do?
a new main villain emerges. A new villain that I just made up.
Mm-hmm.
Crucifigo.
Ooh, I like that name.
I hope you like it because it's literally Latin that I combined. Cruci for cross and fix for and figo for fix. Fix the cross.
Because
I that's one of my favorite things to do when I'm making up new things is just taking two Latin words and combining them.
The best is when you take a Latin word in some other language and mix them together.
How I imagine this guy looking, I kind of wanted to go for a mix of edgy Mario villain and edgy Sonic villain. So we'll see. I'll describe him. I imagine him being kind of like a mix from Father from KND and Spawn. Because he would be this shadowy character. You never see his full outline with these glowing yellow eyes. But he would wear a red hooded cloak that just can go everywhere. It basically acts like an extra pair of arms almost.
Wild.
And they're like, who are you?
Who the? Yeah.
And he explains he is Crucifigo. He is sort of the guardian of the universe. Mm. He wants to separate these universes. That's good. Unfortunately, they're so merged at this point, and he doesn't really give a fuck that unmerging them would destroy both universes. That's bad.
Interesting.
So he's going to try and do that. Mario and Sonic and all of their friends have to stop him, and that's the second half of the game right there.
Wow.
And the second half of the game would be the classic, you have to collect all the Power Stars, or Chaos Emeralds, or Chaos Stars in this case, so you can have a chance at Crucifigo. Because Mario and Sonic would try attacking him, and he would wipe their shit.
He just flicks them away.
He would wreck their shit, basically. And, yeah. From this point on, you basically get to select any character for every mission. There are side missions you can go on, but again, they're not too detailed. And finally, Mario and Sonic would both use the Chaos Stars not to reach Super Sonic, but Invincible Sonic. They effectively look like the invincibility power from the Mario movie, but Sonic still gets his spiked up quills and red eyes. So if you want, you can see this as a comeback of Hypersonic.
There you go.
For a second, the way you said it, because Invincible Sonic, I was like, so is Mario gonna, you know, it's a power up, but Mario gets a hedgehog suit? Like,
no.
Hedgehog suit.
One day. One day.
Yeesh.
And the final battle is the only time where you swap characters in the game, because there are the points where you play as Mario and the points where you play as Sonic as you battle Crucifigo in the center of the universe, basically.
Whoa.
And by center of the universe, I mean center of this planet. Like, the molten core of the planet.
Yeesh.
And it ends in something I took from Asura's Wrath. Both Mario and Sonic charge up the biggest punch of their lives and both hit him in the face at the same goddamn time.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's cool.
They destroy Crucifigo, but now they're like, that was the only guy who knew how to reset our universes. We're kind of stuck. There's no way to get back to what we knew. But at this point, they're like, fuck it.
We'll just chill here now.
So at this point, this is their new lives. All our friends are here, so it's not like they lost too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's just, it's just now one world, and they're getting used to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's my pitch.
Okay. All right.
That was very interesting.
Mario and Sonic Party 7.
Oh, Lord.
God damn.
That's really, it's funny to see how kind of parallel ours were.
Yeah. As soon as you started your pitch, I'm like, fuck.
So you guys both did the molecular level. Meanwhile, me over here going like, they're separate, but pipes. What if pipes?
What if pipes?
It's kind of interesting how in mine they have to be separated to stop from being destroyed, whereas in yours they have to stop from being separated, or else they'll be destroyed.
It was kind of a thing where I took I bring it up again, I kind of took some inspiration from Mario and Rabbids.
Mm.
Where after that first game, they're kind of like, the Rabbids are just here now. So we just got to vibe with
they're
them.
They chill out.
Yes.
They sleep on our couches.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking, what I would take from that. Mario was expansive enough that this is just an alternate universe. Mm-hmm. Sonic is expansive enough, this is just an alternate universe. It's just now these two alternate universes are now...
And legitimately, Nintendo would then just say, like, you know, yeah, that's when Mario is done acting out here. He goes and he doesn't act in the Sonic universe, because it's all a play.
Right.
You
know, Mario and Sonic were seen getting coffee together the other day.
Mario was seen on set with Sonic.
I think for all of us here in this pitch and these things there is that, like... It is something that can be done. So Nintendo, Sega, we will buy every Sonic and Mario game you crap out every year.
Yes.
But you know what we would really buy?
Both of them crapped out together.
Exactly. So please. But what do you all think? Do you guys like these pitches? Leave a comment below. Maybe if you want to give us your own pitch, feel free. Let us know. We'll be back next time when we figure out what else we want to tell you how the bleep we would do it.